We are already behind schedule, so I must talk fast, and y'all pray the anointing be upon me to give you all download all this information in 40 minutes, 35 minutes, and counting. But I am going to need something from you all. I'm going to need you to hold your questions as long as you can, so I can get through. I can give you all the information you need at one time, and then after you realize that I've answered all your questions, if you have any additional questions, we're going to try to have a question and answer session at the end. Right. So at the end, we're going to have a question and answer session. I would greatly appreciate it if you allow me to try to present as much of the information as I can, because I got a whole lot of stuff to give you. Before we get started, let's have a quick word of prayer. Everybody ready? Father, we thank you. We're grateful for your great love. We're just overwhelmed by your goodness, your mercy, and your grace to us. We thank you, Father, for this class, this session. Thank you, Father, that the anointing is with us even now. Thank you that our hearts are open to receive. Thank you, Father, that the wisdom of God that's being downloaded into our spirit is received and is acted upon in each and every life. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, the title of this class is From Concept to Market. Concept to Market in 35 minutes. All right, you need some anointing to get this one. I tell you. I have an idea, so what do I do now? Now, everybody knows an idea, or everybody should know, an idea is not the same thing as an invention. How do I take my idea into an invention? What do I need to do? Well, first thing, you need to know what an invention is. Something you've discovered or created that's not currently known. So it's something new that can exist or be reduced to something tangible, something that's useful or has value to society. It doesn't have to be revolutionary. It can be evolutionary in the sense of it grew out of something else. You don't have to reinvent the wheel or make a new wheel. You can be a solution, a new and better solution to an already existing problem that some people tried to solve, but it's not quite working right. You know, you, everyday situation is like, man, it would be so much better if. I wish I had this to get that done. My job would be so much easier if I had something. You know, I got a pen, but it would be so much better if it worked right all the time.
All right.
You know, right when you need to work, you start shaking the thing and, okay. Invention can be from perspiration or by divine inspiration. I like to use a parallel. Perspiration, think of Thomas Edison. I'm going to try 1,000 ways and it not work. And the 10,001th way, it works. That's one way. Divine inspiration, let's try George Washington Carver, where you go in your room with the Bible and a notepad, and like God tells you, that's how that works. Okay, right, okay, I got you, okay, I hear you. You choose.
Right.
Whichever way works for you. What works best for you. Going from idea to invention. Okay, the first thing you want to do is write down a clear description of what it is that you have invented, using the 5 W's. Who, what, when, where, and why. Who's going to use this? What are they going to use it for? You know, why do they need this? Why would anybody want to buy this? Why would anybody, and how did I come up with this kind of thing? What is the purpose of what it is that I've come up with? What problem does this solve? What is this a solution to my invention? If you can, make a drawing of how you desire your invention to look. So give somebody a visual representation of your invention. Make a written disclosure and have it, quote unquote, witnessed and understood by two trustworthy individuals. This is what they call your inventor's notebook. You take your invention, you write down a clear description, do whatever drawings you can, and then as a form of evidence that you have this invention as of this time, you have two people other than yourself review it and say, I've read and understood, and they're basically acknowledging, they're verifying, they're confirming that you had this idea invention as of this time and date that they signed it. So it's somebody other than you saying, oh, you know, I invented it, you know, way back in 19, yeah, but you didn't write it down and you didn't have it witnessed by no, so you can't prove jack. The purpose of this is to get some formalization behind your invention, your idea. The next step, build and test your invention if at all possible. So it's great in your mind, it's even better on paper. The next step is, if we can make one, if we can get a working model, that's even better. It may not look the same in real life how do I get it to work the way I see it in my head? So if you can do that yourself, more power to you, even better. Keep accurate records of your building and testing activities. So as you go along the process, write down what you're doing and how you're doing it. Have you ever had that situation? I don't consider myself a chef or a cook, but I call myself a bakist. You know, you get something right one time, and then you're like, what did I put in there to get it right that once? So if I wrote down each iteration, then I would know it was 3/4 cup of flour and a half a stick of butter, and not a half a cup of flour, because it's different depending on which ingredients you put in it. So if you keep accurate records of how you got to where you are, when you get to the aha moment, you'll know which variation is right. That's the, you know, the perspiration method. If I go through these processes, I eliminate this one. No, that's not right. It could be, let's add it. So when I get to there, I know what I have. Important bullet point. This is worth your registration fee right here. If you require the services of an engineer, a machinist, et cetera, a technical person, make sure you know, let them know in advance that you want them to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, prior to you disclosing your invention to them. So you make sure they understand that what I'm having you create for me, or what I'm having you build for me, is mine, and you can't use it, you can't tell your friends and neighbors about it, you can't go and sell it yourself. I'm disclosing it to you for the purpose of you building it for me, and I own it, not you. It's mine, not yours. Let's be clear. Let's be clear up front. We're talking about an invention. One of the first questions you should ask yourself, is it marketable? Why am I making it if there is no market for what I've invented? The first thing is, there are no guarantees of commercial success. So even if you make what you think is the greatest thing since sliced bread, I mean, I get a lot of people that say, hey, you know, I got a $1 billion idea, I got $1 million, okay. Is everybody else in the world going to agree with you? So you need to do some research on whether or not what you have could be sold and at what price to everybody else in the world. So there are many factors that determine your success, the 5 P's of success, your production. How available is your product going to be? At what price point are you going to sell this product? It may be really successful at $25. It may flop at $35. You need to know these things. So it may not be the invention of something wrong. It may just be you're missing one of these P's or two of the P's, and you really fall off the boat. Man, it was a great idea, but it's not well, maybe somewhere in your 5 P's, your position. Are you the third person to the market, or are you the first one with this new idea? And so everybody said, I got to have one of those. And because he got to the market first, he's considered the origin, the source, the creator of this new product or widget. How you promote your product? You know, are you on at 3 o'clock in the morning on channel XYZ that nobody ever sees? Or are you selling it out of your basement with a sign on your front window? Or are you on eBay and on prime time on commercial? How you promotion? If you have enough money, you can almost sell anything. Bottom line, right? You can sell a rock. You can sell hot rocks if you have enough money. Who is that? Said? you can literally sell rocks. It was a pet rock. I'm thinking of an, it was another example, but okay, let's keep moving. Did I move something? Okay, perseverance. You've got to believe in yourself and your invention, and you've got to show it through your perseverance. So after you're first to the market, you're getting your price, you're working on your pricing, right? You're getting your production, that your promotion is working. Now stick with it. Don't do all this stuff and then quit. And then somebody come and buy your thing and then make it a success. And you're like, man, I had that first. Man, I should have stuck with it. You know, that was my idea. That was my idea. You know, stick with it. Use some perseverance. Use the other P. How was your product packaged? You know, if you put it in the brown paper bag, you're probably not going to get the response that you're looking for, especially if you're trying to get any kind of money for it. Your trademark name. We're talking about intellectual property overall. This is not a patents class, not a trademark class, but I'm going to try to cover as much as I can in the time that we have. What you call something either evokes a response in people that's stupid. Why do you think we're there? So, I mean, it makes a difference how you present something. The trademark name selected, and a lot of other intangible factors. How is your timing to the market right? A lot of people want to come to market right before Christmas, and right about now, right before right around tax season when people get their income tax check. Why? Because that's when people are either spending money, a lot of money around Christmas, or getting some money back from their tax returns. So when you come to market, if you come in the middle of, right after, you know, after Christmas, people done spent all that money, and you know, that's a good idea, but I still gotta pay them credit cards off from Christmas, so maybe next Christmas I'll get that one. You know, that kind of thing. What are my options for going to market? So we're talking about from taking your thing from an idea and getting it to the market. You have options. So here's a bunch of options you have as to how to get your thing from out of your head and onto the market, into the store or into wherever, so it can start becoming a productive or a valuable an asset. You can obtain a patent, which is, we'll talk about patents in a second. Get a trademark, which is a protecting the name or the logo, the unique source identification of your product. You choose trade secret, which is another way of protecting your assets without obtaining a patent. You can just go in and go to a company and say, hey, would you like to license my idea? You can go out and hire a marketing company and say, hey, I don't have a patent, a trademark, I'm going to use trade secret, and hey, you marketing company, I'm just going to give you a lot of money. You go in and market it, put it on TV, put it whatever. Go door to door, hand out flyers. I'm just going to market it, and hopefully I'm reaching the right people that are interested in what it is that I have to sell. Last one, just start selling. Go out and get you a lemonade stand and just start hawking. I got, you know, new type of wheel for sale. I've invented a new chair. I'm just going, door to door selling. Do something. Pick one, pick two, any combination of the above. Do something. A bishop said, just work it. Get it and work it. Do something. Pick one, pick two, do something. Work it. The first time we went down a list, I'm going to try to go through all of them if we can. Patents, don't get me started on the GMOs and patenting, patenting seed. Quick statement. God made seed to reproduce after his own kind. Yeah. That ain't right. That just ain't right. If you got a seed that you can't reproduce, that's unnatural. Yeah. That's ungodly. Yeah. But let's move. How be ever. Y'all not going to make me preach up in here. What is a patent? A patent is the grant of your right to exclude others from making, using, selling, offering for sale, or an invention in the U.S. or importing that same invention into the United States. So that's the legal definition of a patent. So it gives you the right to exclude others from making, using, selling, offering for sale something in the United States or bringing it to the United States for sale. That's the first definition. The second definition I think we want to hone in on, Genesis 1:28. To save time, I'm gonna read it. Editorially read it for you, Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion or dominate over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that moves upon the earth. Key word I want you to hone in on there is subdue and have dominion. Using a patent is you're exercising dominion over what God gave you. If you have an idea, you have an invention, use your patent as a tool of dominion. This is mine. If you want it, you must come through me and you must pay me handsomely for it. That's right. That's what a patent is. And a patent is one of the few things that is actually in the Constitution. Our founding fathers, who I believe were men of God, they realized the importance of ownership, both real property and intellectual property. So they said, we're gonna put that in the thing. Congress had a right to establish patents, and so that if God gives somebody an idea, they can own that invention and keep others from making, using, and selling that idea. Why do I need to know about patents? To determine if that's the right way for you to quote-unquote protect your idea. Now again, the definition of patents is to give you the right to exclude others. So the protection is it gives you the ability to stop other people. It doesn't automatically, you know, stop other people from doing stuff. It gives you the right to go out and say, hey, this is mine. Cease and desist. Stop trying to use my stuff. To ensure that the profits from your invention come towards you. Again, this is mine, and the intellectual property rights belong to me. Therefore, it should come to me. Obtaining a patent is to forestall competition. So they've got to find another way of solving the problem you solve while you make money. You want to make all the money from this solution while they're trying to figure out a way to work around what you've already solved. Again, another way to help you realize the promise gave in Isaiah 48:17. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee the prophet. Now, patents are for profiting. If you got a problem with making money, you're probably in the wrong class. If you want to know how to take your idea, now I'm not saying you have to be greedy, but you should be, your idea for coming using a God-given idea, your purpose should be to profit. Now, that doesn't mean you have to go and buy 18 of the same color cars, but you should have some profit so that you can do something for yourself and for the kingdom. Yes. If you want to be non-profit, make sure that, well, that's a whole nother. Let's move on. Is my invention patentable? Can I get a patent? Is this something that even fits in am I eligible for a patent? First question is, have I publicly used, disclosed, offered for sale, sold my invention more than 1 year before I'm ready to file an application? If I have, I'm in trouble because I'm statutorily barred from filing a patent application because it's no longer considered by the government as new if you did any of those things more than a year ago. So you can't talk about your invention. You can't go and try to sell it to Rainbow's bicycle shop and then sit on it for a year and then come and call me and say, I think God's telling me to patent my invention. My first question is going to be, when did you first start trying to market your product? Last January. You mean this January or last January? If you mean last January, I can't help you. I can't help you. Now, if you made some improvements and changed some things after January, then maybe you started your clock over again. But if you haven't done anything different and you're still trying to sell something that you offered for sale a year and 2 months ago, I can't file your patent application. So moral of the story is, if you're going to put it out there, you have what? Your clock starts ticking the moment you offer for sale publicly. So even if you're not selling it, if you got a new trampoline and you put it in your backyard with no fence up, I didn't sell it to nobody, but people can see it. It's public. It's been used in public. Well, it's in my backyard. Well, no, people driving past. Oh, he got it. Is it still new? Novel. Your invention must be new and different from what's already existing. So these are novel, unobvious, and useful are the three basic criteria for patentability. And of course, the bar is less than 1 year ago. You can't have used or publicly sold it. So they're looking for it. When they're looking for excuses for not allowing your patent, they're usually coming after you for one of these three things. Is it novel? Is it new and different from what already exists? Is it unobvious? So is it not just a natural progression of what someone else has already done? And this is a term of art. This is why they pay us the big bucks to argue, make the argument that no, it's not obvious. If it was so obvious, somebody else had done it already, or it would have been disclosed to somebody. But so useful, they don't really argue that much about it because the word useful is kind of relative, and so almost anything you can come up with, you can argue is usefulness. If I had more time, I would show you some of the least useful patents that already exist. They got patents for stuff that's like, you scratch your head and one, they got a patent for what? But, you know, that's just how this is. There are three types of patents. You need to know, there's a plant patent that covers plants. If you mix a sweet potato with a sunflower, you'll get a new type of thing. You can get a plant design. If you have a design, you want a design patent, you want to cover the new illustrious shape of our village well water, drinking water, then that would be a design patent. So it's not for what it does, but how it looks or it appears. So that's a design patent. And so the last type, which is most patents fall into the utility classification, which is what it does and how it works. So it is possible to have both a design patent and a utility patent for the same invention. So that's theoretically possible. If I'm talking fast, I apologize, but I gotta get somewhere. Y'all go with me. Okay, so what are some of the common misconceptions about patents? People say, well, if you got a patent, It gives you the right to make or sell or use an invention. What's wrong with that? Doesn't that sound right? If I got a patent, I got a right to make, sell, or use something. Does that sound right? What's wrong with that? Do I need a patent to have a right to make or sell or use an invention? No? What does a patent do? Patent keeps other people from doing it. You have a right to make, use, and sell something without a patent. You don't need a patent to make something. Why do you need a patent? To keep other people from making stuff, right? So if you found something that you can sell that you can't get a patent for, then sell it without a patent. Just try to keep other people from sell as many as you can as fast as you can before somebody else start realizing how valuable what you're selling is and start copying you. Bootleg. Copycat, bootleg, whatever you want to call it. Black market, gray market, whatever. The second misconception, having a patent somehow makes you rich. Patent does not equal dollar signs. Patent is one of the important steps in getting to dollar signs. Again, and having something that is channeling revenue towards you, but in and of itself, it does not mean when I get it, ooh, when I get my patent, all of a sudden, like someone will drop off a boatload of money the day that your patent gets delivered. It's not that simple. Just having a patent does not equal you being rich. The next one, if a product is patented, it must be better than every other patent because it's got a patent on it. And I use, for example, you've seen all the different exercise workout things. There's the ab roller, the ab rocker, ab flexor, ab doer, ab donor, ab slider, ab glider. They're all doing essentially the same thing, and they probably all got patents. So that kind of goes to the second one, the last one as well. Just because I make a product doesn't mean somebody else can't make a patent that has the same type of function, which is supposed to be to make you rock hard abs. But the first thing is you got to actually use it. But, you know, I'm not sure how well any of them work, but they don't work at all if you don't work it. Here's the truth about patents. We had the misconceptions about patents. The truth about patents is the patent is not an offensive weapon. It don't keep people off for you. It's an offensive weapon. It's something you've got to use. You've got to stop people from using your stuff. You've got to stop people from bootlegging your stuff. You've got to go out and find the people that are making copies of your stuff and say, you can't do that because I have a patent on an ownership of that intellectual property. A patent gives you the right to sue or threaten to sue anybody who infringes upon your patent invention. So you've got to go out and find those people and say, hey, you're creeping on my invention, cease and desist, or just turn over to me all the revenue that you're generating from your reproduction of my invention. So patent protection is really the right to enforce your monopoly. So patent gives you a monopoly and the right to enforce your monopoly of that invention. I believe also a patent is a vehicle for the wealth transfer. Because I believe God gives us ideas and insights and things for a purpose. It's not just, Joseph Prince, he mentioned something important that the Jewish people, the people of children of God, the Israelites, are one of the, they're probably even more minority than African-American people. But per capita, they have more Nobel Peace Prizes, more money, they're in more stuff than any other nationality, any other race on the face of the earth. Why? Because of the blessing of Abraham and them being able to and being able to translate that blessing into intellectual property and capital. They own stuff. They invent. They got more. If you go to the patent office and look up Israeli patents, you'd be surprised. I was watching a military channel thing, and some of the defense, some of the new weapons, the new technology stuff, Israeli the new missiles, the latest tanks, the latest software. I mean, Facebook. I mean, they ain't even got to be saved, and they're getting ideas, and owning the capital, owning the intellectual property. And translate it into money. They don't know why. They don't know how. They don't even hardly know they got the lesson of Abraham on. But they're using the system. They're using the patent system. They're using the blessing of Abraham, even unknowingly almost. I guess they probably know they're blessed or something, but, you know, come on, people. We know the blessing of Abraham. We confess in the blessing of Abraham. Let's take the blessing and implement it and get some ownership and monopolize through these intellectual property methods. Okay. God gave Jacob an idea as to how to transfer the wealth from Laban to his own hands. Now, you know the story of Jacob and Laban and how he went before the cattle. And it's illustrated most poignantly in verse 1 of 31. And I'm going to summarize again. He heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that was our father's, and of that which was our father's hath he gotten all this glory. Now, he didn't say glory. He said glory. And when he said glory, it's not the hanyada shana ba 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 ba. Glory. It's not that kind of glory. Glory, he's talking about the stuff. He got his stuff. He monopolized the cattle and the stock of Laban through his God-given idea. He went from an employee of Laban. He ended his employment agreement. And he said, you're going to make me an independent contractor. You ain't going to pay me wages no more. My pay is going to be the sheep that I come up with. And then God gave him an idea on how to multiply his sheep, how to multiply his stock. He took the few stock that he had, took God's idea, God's blessing, put it on there, and all of a sudden his little was bigger and more than Laban's multitude. Why? The blessing, he took the blessing and God's idea and became a multitude. And took all his stuff. And he couldn't say it wasn't his because they looked different, right? He made his different. The spot, speckle, and stripe. That ain't your, what's all those spots on that the spotted ones are mine, right? How are you going to argue about that? Yours is plain. Mine's spotted, speckled, and ring straight. Any court in the law, you go to the city elders in the gate. He took my stuff. What color is this cow? Okay. You know, get out of here, Laban. Get out of here. Did you agree to that? Did you agree? Yeah, I did. What you want me to say? They're yours. All right. Let's go on to trademarks. What are trademarks? You've seen a lot of these things. Tag here, OGO. Crayola, everybody seen some crayon, the Parker pens. It's used mainly to distinguish your invention from your competitor's product. You want everybody to know that when they see this, to think of you. It comes from you as a unique source. It's not a unique source identifier. Trademark is a relatively low cost to obtain federal protection, relative especially to patents, but it's a way of making sure, again, that your product has your brand and people think of you as a source and not any of your competitors or anybody else. I do recommend that you do a trademark search before you come out with, before you make your brand. You know, I use the illustration sometimes of, I'm going to make a Harold Chicken Shack. I got a new kind of chicken, and I'm going to call my Harold Chicken Shack. I'm going to make a bunch of T-shirts and get signs and flyers. Maybe you should do a search on Harold Chicken Shack before you go and file your trademark registration. Okay, a trademark is an IP asset. It's an intellectual property. It's something that has value. In and of itself, your name has value because it serves to identify you as different from everybody else. Trade secrets. What's a trade secret? It's a secret. A trade secret is any information, a process, a technique, or formula that's not generally known, that affords its owner a competitive advantage in their business. Your client list is a trade secret. It is potentially a trade secret. Something who you do business with and how you establish your relationship with them is worth keeping to yourself. It's a value to you and to your competitors as well. That's why if you have employees, you don't want them to take your list of clients or your clients with them when they leave. If you have employees, you want them to sign some kind of a part of their employment is if they leave your employment, they leave without your customers. Right? You don't train them up and send them out with your customers. You train them up, and if they want to go get your own customers. I taught you how to get fish. You go and fish for yourself. Get out my pond. Okay, some examples of a trade secret are the Tootsie Roll process. How do you make a Tootsie Roll? How do you get the inside the, how many licks does it take to? The formula for making Coca-Cola. Everybody has a cola, but none of them taste just like Coca-Cola. And that secret is a well-guarded secret kept in the, I think, SunTrust Bank somewhere in Georgia. I mean, it's so secret, it's in different pieces. They got, nobody in the thing hardly knows the whole recipe. So they got this section, the head of this part department, and the head of that department, each got a piece. So nobody can go and take it someplace else because nobody knows, nobody in the plant knows what the process is. Why? It's a secret. It has value. If it were patented, it would expire after 20 years. How long has Coca-Cola been around? So a trade secret can't be kept forever. Okay. techniques for creating fireworks and laser light shows. How do you process the laser light shows? How do you create the fireworks? There are processes and routines for synchronizing the music and the fireworks display. All those things are confidential, they're proprietary. They have value, and you don't want to necessarily tell them. If you give them a patent, then in a patent you've got to disclose how it's done, and you don't want to do that. But Coca-Cola, if Coca-Cola had a patent, they would have to say it's got to be, you know, three parts acid and eight cups of sugar and three cups of water. I mean, they would have to actually disclose the recipe. And when you don't want to do that, a patent may not be the answer. The process for forming the iron in a sewing needle. Mikimoto's process for developing pearls and chocolate pearls. All those things are not patented, but they're owned by someone and they're protected by a trade secret. What are the advantages of trade secrets? The trade secrets can provide perpetual protection if not discovered. Again, so there's no lifespan on a trade secret as long as you can keep it a secret. Trade secrets can be maintained without the many costs of patenting. Patenting, you've got to pay for the initial cost, you've got to pay a maintenance fee in the middle, and then another maintenance fee, and so on, and then it expires. Trade secrets can cover broader material than a patent. Patent had you to specifically say, I'm covering this, and this is what I own. These are this is mine. Trade secret, whatever you can keep a secret, you can use trade secret to protect. Trade secret rights are obtained instantly, so you don't have to go and register any place. You don't have to file any forms, you know, necessarily to use a trade secret. Trade secrets don't require disclosure of the invention or process. Again, you don't have to tell anybody how to make the Coca-Cola. You don't have to tell, you know, you don't have to file with the government your recipe. What are some of the disadvantages? The trade secret rights can be lost if somebody can figure out your recipe. If you put it on the internet, and the secret to so-and-so's cookies is, well, if it gets out there, it's out. It's not a trade secret anymore. You've got to take great precautions to enforce and maintain the confidentiality of your trade secret. It can be patented by somebody else if they legitimately discover how you do your trademark. A trade secret is a little bit more difficult to sue on and protect and enforce rather than a patent, because you don't have all the, well, my patent is registered with the patent office and they know exactly what I did and how I came up with it, how long I've had it, what the date of. So on this side, if I kept it all to myself, if I don't have good records of what I did and how I did it, it's going to be a little bit harder for me to prove what I had, how I had, who had access to it, how they got it from me, how they stole it from me, rather than they come up with it themselves. How do I protect my trade secrets? Take reasonable precautions to keep your information confidential. Don't leave it out on the desk. Put some confidentiality stamps on it. Keep it locked in the drawer. Mark it confidential. Restrict access to who has it. Don't put it in the front of the visitor's booth in the front office. Put it in the back, in the vault, in the closet, you know, where nobody can get to it. Invention licensing. So we talked about patents, trademarks. We talked about trade secret. Now we're talking about invention licensing. Another way is to license my invention, take what I have. This is an example of cross-branding. Mr. Potato Head mixed with what? Transformers. So Transformers licensed their brand to Mr. Potato Head. They said, we made money with Optimus, we made money with the yellow guy, whatever his name is, Bumblebee. Why don't we have Mr. Potato Head make some more money for us? So now for every Mr. Potato Head that sells with the Transformers thing on there, we're getting a licensing fee. How do I license my invention? The first thing you need to do is make sure it's properly researched, developed, and tested, and protected before you start trying to go and license it to somebody. Because if you don't, then you run the risk of your licensee having more rights than you do. You know, before you go to a company, research the company to explain how your invention will complement their existing product line. So I'm sure that Hasbro and Transformers did a whole lot of say, okay, we can work with this. Mr. Potato Head has been around forever. You know, we can work something out. They're going to make more money. We're going to make more money. It works. No brainer. Demonstrate through your research and marketing plan the profitability of your invention. It's successful. Mine is successful already. Yours is successful. If you put the two together, you're going to get some of my customers. I'm going to get some of your customers. And we're going to both make more money. You know, if you're selling a new toy, don't take it to a bicycle shop. If you're selling a new toy, find the toy company that's closest, whose products most likely complement what you're selling, and tell them again how my product is going to boost your bottom line. What they want to know is, How can I make more money? I'm helping you out. This new invention is going to add money to your bottom line. You have this product, and that product, but you don't have this. If you add my product to your product line, your bottom line is going to go up. And by the way, I'm going to get some licensing fees out of it. By the way, as a part of the process. Licensing roles. There's a bunch of different roles that you can read through that are there. We got to go ahead. Going to market is a process. Don't assume that you can just hand your invention over. You come up with an idea, I can hand my invention over to somebody and they're going to handle it like it's their own, their baby. There are companies that claim to do a la carte, to do everything. From beginning to end, we'll take care of it for you. Next thing is, be prepared to take all the preliminary steps prior to presenting your invention. So before you take it to a licensing company, you should have done some homework as to how much money is in the industry. You should know what the price point is for something of the type of product you're trying to sell. So how much do you want to sell it for? How much money can I make on each one? How many things I can sell? Your invention should be researched, developed, and tested to increase their visualization of its potential. You should be able to give them a good picture of how they're going to make money with what you're trying to get them to buy from you or license from you. Most legitimate licensing agents or product scouts, they don't prefer to deal with ideas or real concepts. They don't want an idea for something. They want you to bring them something they can actually go and sell as to something they got to go find a way to make and then sell. Not saying it can't be done. Most, and generally speaking, they want a product as opposed to an idea for a product. So your job is to try to take it from an idea to a product that they can go and sell to somebody. If you can't do the actual product itself, you'll go the patent route and make it so that the description, the drawings, your virtual, your 3D drawing, your CAD, whatever, is enough so they can see in their minds themselves making money with what you're trying to sell them. Okay, do I need a model prototype? Again, a working model gives you something real to show your consultants and give them some insight on how it works, how big it's going to be, how big my packaging needs to be, how much money I have to spend for shipping, and how much is the weight, all those kind of things you need to know. A non-working model may also provide valuable insight in the process. So if you can't get a working model, how about just a mock-up? If you got to use Lego blocks, do something. Anything visual is better than nothing, better than me talking about it. A virtual prototype or CAD drawing can bring your invention to life. How to obtain a model or prototype? Locate a model maker, an engineer, a prototype maker who can work with your type of material. Make sure they sign an NDA. Make sure that you have work for hire language in your thing. Meaning, I'm hiring you to make a model or copy of my invention. It does not mean it belongs to you, it belongs to me. I'm paying you to create this for me, therefore all rights to this belong to me, not to you. That's what work for hire means. Ask for references before you hire them. Make sure they have a detailed description of what they're doing for you. So they know, oh, I thought you wanted me to make an, no, that's not what I said. Write it down, get a detail so you can go back. Line 3 says, it was to be this high, this wide, and take that long. Okay, make sure the materials list is created. You want to know if they made something for you, what are the pieces? If I got to go to the store and buy some pieces to make another one, what's the materials list? You know, 3 pieces of this and 4 screws, 5 buttons, and 4 holes. Thomas.net, Thomas Register is what it's called, has many manufacturers and services. So if you can, get somebody local. There are hundreds and thousands of material makers out there that can do stuff for you. Getting invention services, we're out of time, so I'm going to have to talk about this stuff really quickly. You need to do all these things. We talked about all this stuff. Do a commercial, can I market it? Do a patent search before it. Do a patent application. Develop your product, somebody to help you market it, or a licensing agent to help you license it. You can market it yourself. If all else fails, you don't have any money, you just became your marketing man, your chief of marketing. You became your CMO, chief marketing officer. Use your market research, prove the value of invention. You can begin marketing by preparing your summary and presenting it to local people. Go in Chicago, and if you're here, find the people in here that have an office and take it. Call. I have clients. He made something. He'll mail it to them. Mail a copy. Call them up. Hey, did you get my shovel? I've invented a new shovel. Take a look at it. Give me a call. We take $20,000. Okay, all right. Now let me go somebody to get somebody. He got the orders already. Now I just got to get somebody to make $20,000 and get paid. It can be done. In conclusion, document, build, and test your invention. Evaluate whether or not it's commercially feasible. Does it make sense? Can you make money? Assess patentability. Can I get a patent for it? Can I get ownership of that? Obtain a patent if possible. And then prepare your invention for licensing. Explore your options for how are you going to market? How am I going to get to the market? How am I going to market it? And then use professionals appropriate to each step. So it may be a different professional for doing the commercial feasibility than the one who's assessing patentability or who's doing the patent or preparing the licensing. So that might not be one person or one group of people. So if you need help in that area, get help. If you can't get help, if you can have a professional do it, do it. If you can't, then do what you can yourself. But work it. Whatever you do, just work it. Thank you for your attention. Thank you all for your patience. I apologize. I was trying to get through there.
Go ahead and stand up. I apologize. Go ahead and voice your question.
I'm in the healthcare field, and my idea is in the IT field. And so I've already kind of started working with a couple of developers to help me develop the software. And I failed to get an NDA. We probably had about 3 to 4 meetings so far. I failed to get an NDA. At this point, is it too late?
Her question was, if everybody didn't hear it, she's in the healthcare field. She has an IT idea. She's working with a couple of engineers, had a couple of meetings with them. Is it too late now to get an NDA? It's not too late, especially if they'll sign it. You have the best leverage before you engage them, because then you can say, I don't want you if you don't sign the NDA. So it's not too late. You ask, if anything. Yeah. I'm not sure how much you've disclosed to them, but yeah, ask. It's not too late to ask. Get your NDA and have them sign it. Say, hey, you need to sign this. And explain it. This is not just some piece of paper I'm handing you. This is to make sure you understand that I'm discussing with you, I'm disclosing to you confidential proprietary information that belongs to me, and you're not going to share it and use it for other than the purpose for which I'm discussing it with you for. Okay, that answers your question?
Next question. Improving an existing product.
What's the question?
To improve an existing product.
Can you improve an existing product?
How do I go about doing it? I'm getting some doors closed in my face. No one wants me to increase their business. Everyone I go to, they have their own department. That's what I'm there.
Not invented here, kind of thing. Almost everything that you make nowadays, again, if it's not completely revolutionary, it's an improvement upon something that already exists. So it is the majority of patents are an improvement upon something that already exists. So make it better or adjust the next step. I mean, we learn more. When they first invented the airplane, it didn't have too many seats. I mean, it didn't go very far. It didn't fly very long, you know, but we've come a long way through improvements upon the technology. The technology is the same. The basic technology is the same, but we've improved in so many areas. So how do you make an improvement upon it? Well, first of all, if you have an improvement, you want to try to get a patent for your improvement. And then you don't have to so much deal with the not invented here. Because if you have the ownership of the intellectual property, then anybody, you do have to find somebody that sees the value of your improvement. Some people, they don't want to hear your idea because it wasn't invented here, and they may be afraid they may have to pay you to use your idea. So you get the ownership issue taken care of first, and then find somebody who sees the value of what you've done and the solution you're providing to an existing problem.